I love to plan. I always want to have a plan, whether it's a plan to get the chores done at night, or a plan for the next day, or a plan for the next week, maybe the next 5 years. I always want a plan. I'm always asking Katie, so what's the plan? What are we doing? I try to plan out my study. We try to plan getting the chores done. We try to plan when we see our family and friends, when to take holidays, and so many other things. What about you? Do you like to plan? I mean, in our culture, we just need to plan to some degree. Sure, some of us are more organized than others, but we all need to plan. The question is, do we plan with reference to God? Do we plan our lives in line with God's will or our own? Do we plan trusting God or trusting ourselves? This is the question that James poses to us this morning. How do you plan? Do you plan knowing that God is real and powerful, or do you plan as if he doesn't exist? James starts by talking to people who love to plan in verse 13. He says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." They're making a plan, aren't they? These traders, these merchants. They're planning to go into the city or maybe down to Sydney, planning to start a new job, maybe a tech startup and make some money. They're planning to live for themselves. Sound like a good plan? Well, not really. Because as he goes on, James makes it very clear that this is not a good plan. James isn't encouraging these traders, these businessmen. He's calling them out to rebuke them because they're living a life without reference to God, a life without reference to God. This is the first point on the sermon outline. These people may think they're Christians, but James is saying they're practical atheists. They're living as if they're the master of their own destiny. Remember what James says about the tongue we talked about last week back in chapter 3? How through the words we say to ourselves, we control our lives. Well, here James is talking about how we speak to ourselves as if God doesn't exist. Again, in verse 13, James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to town and make a profit." We've all spoken that way, haven't we? You've all had thoughts and ideas that just forget about who God is. Let's look closely at the picture that James paints and see the way that we plan without God. Firstly, we assume that we have time. Without a second thought, we suppose that we have almost endless time, that just like clockwork, the earth will continue to rotate around the sun, and we assume that the time we have is ours to use as we see fit. Today or tomorrow, the traders will go into town and spend a year there. Now, I think that we assume we have time in both the big picture and the small. In the big picture, we assume that we have a whole career ahead of us, 20, 30, 40 years. And so we make plans. We plan to climb the ranks at work. We plan further study. Then we plan our dream job, our own house in the ideal location. Then we plan the renos, that new bathroom, the perfect kitchen. We plan those personal projects, whatever's in the shed or on the sewing machine. We plan our kids' education. We plan the holiday we've always looked forward to. And then we plan our perfect retirement. And in making these plans, it's just so easy for God to slip off the radar. And on the small level, we plan every minute of every day, assuming it's ours to play with. I'm always guilty of this. My days are so crammed full that I don't have time for anything else. And if you're not a planner, well, you're still assuming that you have time. You're just assuming it in a different way, that there will be time for all the plans in your head to work out. We assume that we have time. Now, I should say that there's nothing wrong with long-term plans or organising your weekly schedule. We'll come back to this a bit later, but the key is not planning itself. It's our attitude as we plan. Secondly, we assume we have control. We assume that simply by deciding something, it's going to happen, that I can choose to live and work here or there, that I can decide. Now, we certainly have choice. I'm not denying that. We were made with choice with how we spend our lives. But as we'll see, we don't have control. Thirdly, when we live without reference to God, we presume on our ability. We weigh out what we can do. We know our skills and our qualifications, and we depend on them. We ask ourselves, what can I do? Then we go to TAFE or uni and get a degree and plan our ideal job, and we base the rest of our life around that. We say to ourselves, I'll go to the city, and in my case, I'll get a job as an engineer, and I'll make some money, and I'll be comfortable. And that's the fourth assumption we make without God. We assume the goal, living for ourselves. That's what life is about, isn't it? Living for ourselves, making a profit so that we're comfortable, so that life is easy. And so we look good. Those ideal jobs always pay well, don't they? We never aim for anything that pays mediocre. And you don't want your kids to just have middle-of-the-range jobs. No, you want them to have good jobs, to earn good money. Now again, there's nothing wrong with working and making money. In fact, we're called to work. That's how we're made. And in our society, we need money to survive. We need money to be generous. The problem isn't working and making money. It's the attitude behind our work and our earnings that matters. You know, it feels to me like James is talking to the rich fool in Luke 12. He had plenty, didn't he? He made a profit. So what did he do? He built a bigger barn to store it all. He said to himself, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years, so relax, eat, drink, and be merry. He assumed he had time. He assumed he'd reached the goal. But what did God say? God said, you fool. This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? The rich fool didn't have the time he assumed. His plans, his efforts, were all in vain. And he had the wrong goal, didn't he? He thought his life was all about him. What makes this so tough is that this is the message of our culture. It's in the air we breathe. For the kids at school, the message is you can be whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. In the workplace, it's all about performance and achieving goals. And that's why James this morning is so important and refreshing, so countercultural. Are you living a life without reference to God? Are you planning to go to the office or maybe just your computer at home and trade and make a profit and be comfortable? You're here this morning, which is great, but are you living the rest of the week as if you're the master of your own destiny? Is it your time, your skill, your strength, your ability that matters? Is your life all about you? Now, there will be ways in which all of us will answer yes to these questions. We all have plans, we all have goals and ambitions that forget about God. We all have idols in our hearts. There are parts of your lives in which you are the master of your own destiny. What is it for you? What are you chasing after without God? Are you making plans for comfort, for approval, for joy outside of Christ? Are you striving for self-worth to show that you can do it? We could go on, couldn't we? Talking about the different idols of the human heart, the different plans that we make without God. We're great at hiding this kind of thing. I'm sure that in many ways you are faithfully following Jesus, but at the same time, we all harbour ambitions as if he doesn't exist. Well, in this passage, James pours a bucket of cold water on our plans. You want to make plans, James says? Well, that's a bit silly because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. This is point two in verse 14. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. You just don't. As Proverbs 27:1 says, don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring. Sure, in God's grace, there's regularity in life. The sun rises and sets, seasons come and go, and for us here in Australia, our life is mostly stable. Most of you will probably go to work tomorrow or school or whatever else you do on a Monday morning. Yet at the same time, your life could change significantly tomorrow. I don't want to get morbid or alarmist, but every day people's lives do change through tragedy, through accident, or even unexpected blessing. We just don't know what tomorrow will bring, which makes it hard to plan, doesn't it? It makes it hard to be the master of your own destiny. And then James comes back for another go. He tips another bucket of cold water on us. He reminds us who we are. We're mist, a vapor. In other words, you were born, you're here for a little while, and then you disappear. Gone. Just like that. Of course, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. How can we? We may not even be here tomorrow. We're a mist, frail and weak. We don't have the strength, nor the ability, nor the knowledge to be masters of our own destiny. Planning without reference to God is foolish because we don't know the future. We're weak. We're pitiful creatures. We don't know tomorrow. But God does. This is the third point on the sermon outline. We don't know tomorrow, but God does. Whereas we are weak, he is strong. We are the creature. He is the creator. We don't have control over this life, but he does. We are temporal. He is eternal. James doesn't spell this out for us in chapter 4, but I think it's implicit to his argument. This is why we looked at Psalm 139. Because in this psalm, David celebrates exactly this, God's knowledge and strength and power. Come with me to Psalm 139, verse 2. Because David says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it. Altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. God knows. God knows your thoughts, your words, your actions. And David says this is a knowledge that we don't need or want. God is your creator, and he knows all the days of your life. Jump down to verse 16, where David says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God knows. He knows you, and he knows tomorrow. And unlike us, God will not vanish like a mist. What he says will happen, will happen. Unlike us, he has the strength to carry it out. So where does this leave us? How do we live as a mist in God's world? What do we need to do? We need to live under God's will. This is the fourth point from verse 15. We need to recognize that we are not masters of our own destiny. We need to see that God is God and that we are but a vapor, that this is his world, that he makes the sun rise and set, that he controls all things, and that we're just weak creatures, totally dependent on him for our life and being. We need to recognize this. In other words, we need to live a life of faith. Instead of speaking words of presumption to ourselves, instead of telling ourselves that we have everything under control, we need to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Now, there's a catch here. For some people, when they say, if the Lord wills, they really mean, I hope so. I'm sure this wasn't your friend Rob, but for some people, you might have heard some people say, God willing, I'll get this job I applied for. Or if it's God's will, I'll make the team. I suspect that in many of these cases, this is just Christian speak for what I want to happen. But that's not what James is talking about. James is talking about a real, genuine recognition of God's place and our place. James is talking about recognizing that God gives us our life, that in Him we live and move and have our being, that we are dependent on Him for all good things, that He is the giver, the provider of all good gifts, that He makes the sun rise each and every morning. And so relevant for us, that He makes the rainfall. And James is talking about recognizing that we are but a mist that appears and then vanishes. That we are weak and feeble. And when we get that right, well, now we can begin to plan. Because as I noted earlier, James isn't saying we shouldn't plan at all. James is saying that we need to plan in faith. We need to plan with a deep underlying trust in God as our sustainer of life. We need to plan knowing our own frailty, our own weaknesses, our feebleness. We need to plan in line with God's will. Because not only is the picture of verse 13 silly, it's actually sinful. The traders described there, the businessmen, what were they aiming to do? They were building treasure on earth. They were building treasure where moth and rust destroy. They were living for themselves. This is the fifth point from verses 16 and 17. Those who live without God, the practical atheists, those who build bigger barns. Well, James says they boast in their arrogance, and this is evil. What we're talking about this morning is not simply a wisdom issue. It's not only that it's stupid to live life without reference to God, who gives life and controls all things. It's actually sinful. When we know how we should live, James says, and we don't live that way, this is sin. So what do we need to do? We need to repent. We need to say sorry for the ways that we plan, ignoring God. We need to say sorry for the times that we rely on our own strength and ability. We need to repent of the times that you live for yourself. And then plan in line with God's will. Throughout his letter, if you're familiar with James, James is calling us to be doers of the word, and it's no different here. James is saying that we need to get who God is, that we need to get who we are, and then live in line with God's will as revealed in the Bible. James is telling us to be doers of the word. When teaching us to pray, Jesus says that we should pray that God's will would be done. We know that we shouldn't live for ourselves. We shouldn't store up treasures on earth for our own comfort. Rather, we should live to store up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy. One person who got this was Charles Thomas Studd, or C.T. Studd. He was a great cricketer. In fact, he played in the first ever Ashes Test match all the way back in 1882. This is the game where England lost to Australia, and the English press mourned the death of English cricket, and so we have the legend of the Ashes. C.T. Studd played for England, but we'll forgive him for that because he understood what we're talking about today. He knew how to plan in line with God's will. He said, I know that cricket won't last, He knew that the honour won't last. He said, I know that nothing in this world will last, but it is worthwhile living for the world to come. And so C.T. Studd chose not to keep playing cricket. He chose to become a missionary, and he took the gospel to China. Look him up and have a read of what he did. It's so encouraging. Because he planned in line with God's will. He didn't chase his own glory. He didn't live for himself. Rather, he understood God's will in the Bible, and he planned in line with that. Now, when we start talking about God's will, sometimes we can get hung up here. And we start to ask ourselves, what's God's specific will for our lives? Does he want me to become a missionary like C.T. Studd or a doctor? Or I'm not sure if we ever ask ourselves if God wants us to become a cleaner, but maybe. How do I know what God's will is? Well, that's a sermon in itself, but very quickly, I think what happens here is that we get so hung up on what we don't know that we forget what we do know. The Bible makes it really clear that we're called to live holy, righteous lives. We're called to spread the gospel. That's God's will for your life. Put on the new self, righteous and holy. And so knowing who God is, knowing who we are, and knowing God's will as revealed in the Bible, we can make plans in line with that, trusting him. That's what James is saying here. We don't know tomorrow, but we know God's will in the Bible. And so we can plan in line with that. This is not an attitude that will come overnight. Knowing God and knowing yourself will come as you spend more time reading the Bible. But I encourage you today to commit again to planning in line with God's will. It's worth it because when we do, it'll take a great load off our back. You see, the problem of relying on your own strength, the problem of being master of your own destiny, is that one day your strength will fail. One day your choices won't bring success. One day your skill, your knowledge, your ability won't be enough. And that day, you find out in yourself that you could never do it. That you were never strong enough, that you were never clever enough, that you never had control. But when you see things as they truly are, that God is God and that we are but a mist, when you plan in line with his will, his righteous will as revealed in the Bible, when you trust him, when you know your weakness, then you don't need to bear the burden of your plans. When you do it this way, it's not all on you. You're putting your trust in God, and so the one of infinite power, the one of infinite knowledge, the one of infinite wisdom, the one of infinite strength is the one who will carry your plans. You don't know what tomorrow will bring, but he does. As Solomon said, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. When you plan in line with his will, you can trust him with the outcome. It may not be what you want or what you expect, but we know that it'll be good. Because the Apostle Paul says, for those who love God, all things work together for good. So to finish, let's ask the question, what does this look like? How do you know if you're planning in line with God's will? Or to put it another way, how do you tell if you're a practical atheist? How do you tell if you're living your life without reference to God? Well, here's a few diagnostic questions that might help you. Firstly, have you got your assumptions right? Remember the wrong assumptions the traders made back in verse 13? Well, ask yourself if you have the right assumptions. Are you planning assuming that your time is finite and a gift from God? Or do your plans assume all the time in the world? Do you recognize that your ability is from God, that he has blessed you with skills and abilities that will allow you to work? Or are your plans all about what you can do? Are you planning knowing that it's God who's in control? Or are you still the master of your own destiny? And finally, are you planning with the right goal? Are your plans seeking the kingdom of God or your own glory? Secondly, do you see your weakness? Are you realistic about your own frailty? Do you see that you are amiss, that in some sense you're about to disappear? Or are your plans all based on your own strength? Thirdly, how tightly are you holding to your plans? If that promotion, that job offer doesn't come through, do you just know inside yourself that you'll be crushed? You don't know what tomorrow will bring, but your Heavenly Father will provide all you need. And finally, let's zoom in on the goal. Are your plans seeking treasure in heaven? Can you honestly say that your plans, from the big to the small, are seeking His kingdom and His righteousness? If this is the case, then I can tell you one thing for sure. You'll be planning on being here at church. If you're seeking God's kingdom, you'll be planning to pray regularly. You'll be planning to read the Bible. You'll be planning to encourage other Christians and so many other things. If these regular spiritual disciplines aren't part of your plans, then, well, that's a good sign you may be planning without God. So hopefully those questions will help you to assess your own plans and to encourage you to plan more in line with God's will. So, we've been asking the question, how do you plan? Are you like the traders of verse 13? Are you living a life without reference to God? Or are you planning in line with God's will? As people who have put your faith in Jesus, let's trust Him with our plans. And don't just pay Him lip service. Truly trust Him. Trust the one who knows what tomorrow will bring. Let Him carry the weight of your plans, knowing that all things will work together for our good. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are, that You are mighty, that You are strong, that You are in control. Father, that You know all things. And so, Father, as we plan, help us to put our trust in You. May we plan in line with Your will. May we seek Your kingdom. Father, help us to see the parts of our lives where we plan without You. Help us to see those idols in our hearts where we want to forget about You. Father, through Your Spirit, help us to cast them aside, to be seeking Your will, to be planning as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.